Revelation chapter 3, Church of Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and read your precious word, sing those beautiful praises, listen to that beautiful music today. I just thank and praise you for it. It is an exciting day, a wonderful day that we can come and celebrate you, come together as a family and remember the great work that you did upon the cross of Calvary. As we have the Lord's Supper today, why we are reminded of that work. But, dear Father, the great thing is that you died on the cross and took our sin away. But greater is your resurrection, that you came out of the grave. And that's what we do come on Sunday morning. And we need to acknowledge that and remember that what a great and wonderful day, the day. Why do we come and celebrate on Saturday instead of on Sunday instead of Saturday or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday? We come because that's the day that you came out of that grave. And we just praise you and honor you because you have not only taken care of our sin, but you've given us life. Now, through, dear Father, the study of this church, and we're just going to touch on it today, as always. It seems that 1 week takes the time of the introduction almost, and so that'll be the case today. But please guide and lead us today through this study of the Church of Laodicea and awaken us, dear Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This is the seventh church. We have studied all six churches, and this is the seventh, the Church of Laodicea. And so as this message is given out, as John, by the leadership and the direction, as the Holy Spirit is guiding John's hand as he writes across the pages of the paper to record what God would have for us to see and to hear. And so in doing that, why we find that this is the final estate, this is the estate of apostasy. And that is the time period. You hear me often speak that we are in the Laodicean age. And so this is the time of the great apostasy. And the definition of apostasy, if you have heard that word and by the time you gotten home and forgot to look it up to see really what that means, it's an abandoning of what one has believed in. And so we start with the Word of God, the precious truth. And then the world, man, begins to one point at a time pull out things from the truth. And they begin to abandon their truths, abandon their beliefs. And then we have another breakaway. This group would break away from a body of believers and start their own church because they believe it a little differently. And then another breaks away and another breaks away. Why do you think we've got so many denominations? Why do you think we have so many different churches? It's because every man has their own thinking about the Word of God. Well, we need to just simply look at the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit teach us and lead us. It is not a place for a man to decide what is truth and what is not truth when it comes to the Word of God. And how do we confirm the Word of God? We do it by the Word of God. It's the only source we have. And they slowly, more rapidly than you would even think probably, but slowly it's taken to where many churches literally don't even believe the Word of God, period. And it started with the changing of the Word of God, the abandoning of what the truth was, and then one doctrine at a time was left out, was dropped, was changed, and then not long, the Spirit of God left the church. And so no longer, most churches do not have the Spirit of God even present in a powerful way to change their lives. In other words, to be born again and begin that walk. This church of Laodicea is located about 90 miles east of Ephesus. So you get your map out, look at that. It's not far from Colossae. It is named or actually renamed from the wife of Antiochus II, the Assyrian who ruled in those early days. It was destroyed prior to that. There was a terrible earthquake. Most cities destroyed by another king because they come to take rule and take control. But they come to the church of Laodicea, the city of Laodicea, and if you'll look, you'll find in my searching, I found that there are many, many Laodicean city named Laodicea. It's a very common name. And Iran, Iraq, in that whole area of the Middle East there is a very common name. But this one here has a definite location, a definite place, because it's a given church that the Lord had brought John to see and to write about. And so, and it has exactly what the condition you're in today. But I guess that in that year, the reign of Nero, there was this earthquake just totally leveled everything when it come to the city. I guess it left nothing undone. But very quickly, the city was rebuilt, more beautiful and more magnificent than ever. For some reason, and in looking through what study books that I have, and even in what history books I have, I can really find nowhere where it tells me where the wealth, what made Laodicea a wealthy city. Everything else was a given reason. It was a seaport, or it was some reason that they were so locked in. It speaks of the plateau and the kind of the crown that the city was built upon, beautiful location, and maybe that's all it was just this magnificent location. But it didn't seem to have any source of real revenue that I could find, a reason that it was such a wealthy city. But each and every one spoke of how wealthy it was. I mean, it was just in the most beautiful, beautiful city. And so this account that we have here in Revelation, the wealth of the city, of course, has affected the church. It didn't have to, but it did. And so it seems, and I think we all know this to be true, that many times and most often, great riches means greater sorrow. People, for some reason, that have riches get to the place of pride and they acquire this love, a great love of money. And you know, the scripture is very clear. It is the love of money. It's not the actual possession of money, but it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. The root. And so we need to be careful that money does not control us. A person can be a very, very wealthy person and still be a very, very godly person. But with money, it seems to eliminate some problems in our lives. And by having money, then we don't need to depend upon the Lord for something because we just go buy it. We don't pray about it. We don't wonder about it. We just go to the bank account and take it out and go buy it. We don't need anything. And it's not long that living that way that you change and no longer, even though you could be in a very, very godly individual when this come about, it's not long now that you've stopped praying, you've stopped studying your Bible, you've got all these wonderful new things to enjoy, and so you really don't need God. So it comes to Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and things like that. I used to enjoy going to church, but you know I'm going to go to here. I'm going to go there, and you've got things to do, people to see, and so very slowly it seems that our life would change. Well, it appears that this happened in the church of Laodicea. And we know that it happens in our lives as well, because most of the time riches produce selfishness, a self-centeredness, and a prideful lifestyle. Now, what is there in those lists that God's pleased with? Let me read them again. Selfishness, self-centeredness, prideful lifestyle. Now, what is in there that God loves? He doesn't. He hates those things. And that's what wealth many times brings to us. And so this church of Laodicea is there. There are very few rich people that continue to praise and serve the Lord. It's there are very few rich churches that have a lot of money that are spiritual. The general rule is that riches brings sorrow. The more money you have, the more hurt and heartaches you really have. And the reason for it is not the money. The reason is because we begin to depend upon the money more than we depend upon God. We don't need Him. We don't need Him. You wonder why sometimes that you just never seem to have enough and it just, you always, if I just had that one more dollar, then I could buy this. I could do this, but I just don't have it. Do you ever wonder why? It's not because God beats us down and wants us to stay humble. He wants us to love Him, and He wants us to depend upon Him. And He knows. Hand him $1,000 or $10,000 or $100,000 or $1,000,000. He knows what we're made of. Not long, that old flesh gets its way, and we're gone. He said, I want you to serve me. I want you to depend upon me. I want you to love me. And you know, when we become strong enough to do that, then money doesn't affect us. We enjoy the things of this life, but it does not affect us. We still serve the Lord. We still praise Him. We still pray about things. God, how will you have blessed me with this money. How do you want me to use it? How do you want me to use it? And so this church of Laodicea, and again, the sad thing is that riches and being spiritual, those two things seem to be walking most of the time going in two different directions. And they don't have to, but without great care and prayer and faithfulness unto the Lord, that's exactly what happens to us. The Laodicean church was very rich. The scripture verse down 17 tells us, increased, I am rich, increased with goods. What do they have need of? What does the Laodicean church have need of in that scripture? Nothing. Nothing. Now, is that a condition our heart should ever be in? Should our heart ever be in a condition that we have need of nothing unless we are depending upon the Lord? And so we just know as the days go by that He's going to fit and use everything and have everything that we need. And if He blesses us with much, we're going to praise Him. If He blesses us with little, we're going to praise Him. And we're going to serve Him. And we're going to walk with Him. But this increase with goods meant that the Laodicean church had much luxury. They were self-satisfaction, the pride. They just had plenty. They had everything. And, they needed nothing. They needed nothing. Yes, they did. Scripture says their heart said they needed nothing. And yet the Scripture tells us very quickly that they had nothing. How can you have everything and have nothing all at the same time? How can that be? We have nothing, we want everything. We have everything, we find out we have nothing. Now, there's got to be some place in the middle there that brings peace and happiness and joy. You know, the Scripture tells us, you know, I don't want to be poor enough that I have to steal to support my family. I don't want to be wealthy enough that I have to worry about everybody stealing from me. I want to just be in the middle. Well, this church was so used to having everything that they decided they needed nothing. And what they really needed was the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Needed to be in the center of their life because it was nothing. Now, I can jump forward just a little bit here, and I'm going to tell you, if you would go right now over there and find the site where the Church of Laodicea used to be, and where the city, this magnificent, beautiful, luxurious city that had need of nothing, you go look at it today. And the only thing I can find in the history books is a little bit of a half-moon affair, and they call it the Old Castle, and that's the only thing that's left. All other beauty of that city, including the church, is dispersed. Where'd all the money go? Where'd all the fancy things go? Where are they? If they're so important, where are they? Why isn't that city more magnificent today? You know, the philosophers, we're getting better. We're getting better. We're evolving forwards. And you know, and if we can stop this global warming affair, we're going to be perfect someday. If we can just continue to evolve upward. Well, you know as well as I do that those people are blind. Because if you just look today at man today and look at him 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago, you'll find more wickedness. The principles of their mind are more and more perverted and wicked every day. And it's not because, and I'm talking about this country, In this country, we are the wealthiest country in the world. So what's that prove to us? That wealth doesn't make us good. Power doesn't make us good. There's only one that can make it right and good and blessed and hope and joy and happiness in our heart. Only one. And that is Jesus Christ. God has to come back into this country. God didn't leave this country, but this country moved. They have left God because they knew, as the Church of Laodicea knew, that enough money can buy anything. It can buy power. It can buy everything, anything. It can buy anything. But you go over to the Church of Laodicea. You go over there right now. You take some old Jeep and you drive across it because you can drive in and out and around because it is a flat piece of ground with nothing on it. Where'd all that beauty go to? You know, we go down to the Ozarks every year over the 4th of July, and this year it didn't. I was not didn't want to walk a lot, and we usually every year we go down south between Camden. It's in around Camden. It's a mansion, and they call it the castle. And I'm not going to attempt to say what the name of the park is. It's a state park down there. No, better not. Anyway, beautiful place, just beautiful. And they have wood and asphalt walkways, and you can walk forever. And it's just very peaceful, very peaceful. But a man come out, and I can't remember if it was St. Louis or Kansas City, but came out from one of those cities, found this place way before the dam was there, before the lake was there, before anything was there. And he saw this hill because of the blue springs that was below. And he saw that, and he wanted to build his mansion here on this earth. And so, big industrial man, he came in and he brought in, he had his own quarry, he had his own equipment. People come live there all week because you couldn't transport back and forth. And they built that house and they worked on it and worked on it. Today you can walk around it and there's just some stones left. It's burned. It's just a pile of rubble now. The view is beautiful, but it's just a pile of rubble. There's just nothing there. That man put all of his effort into building this house. You know how long he lived in this house? He didn't. He died before he completed it. And years later, his son completed it, and they lived there for a little while before somebody lit it a fire and it burnt. It burnt. Now, if that man, and I don't know whether he's born again or not, but if he was not saved, he put all of his efforts into this mansion here. And he left here, and he went to the hells of fire. He went to the place where there's the gnashing of teeth. The fires never end. That's where he went. Because he set all of his life and all of his eyes and strength upon building this place. And it seems that this church of Laodicea did the same. They had a magnificent church as the magnificent city. So why weren't there the greatest outreach? Why didn't they have sending more missionaries out than anybody else? Why didn't they have more folks saved than anybody else? Because if money buys souls, and why aren't there multitudes? Why isn't that whole area born again? That whole area should not be Muslim. They should all be Christian. Instead of that, you cannot even find evidence of the Laodicean church, period. Can't find it. Can't find it. It's because we put too much thought. The pride of Laodicea was brought down to the ground. Its wealth was scattered into the dust. The beauty in the dust. The beauty and the what's left in this ruin, in this desolation, was not much different than when the earthquake went through. immediately rebuilt it. But now it's gone. It's completely destroyed. Each church in the book of Revelation represents a period of time. We talked about a period of history between Pentecost and the rapture. We recognize now, I hope that you do, that we are living in the church age of the Laodicean church, a time when pride, wealth, and self-satisfaction is at its highest. And that's within the church. Looking at that, and then in looking very quickly at the title now, and the reason that I want to spend so much time looking at this church, the surrounding area, and the people, because the first title of the speaker, which we know to be Jesus, "These things saith the Amen." Saith the Amen. That's a title. When I first started the first church, if you'll remember, I went through and I read each one of those titles. And we will do the same when we finish them. We're going to go back and read all of the description of our wonderful Savior and speaker of these words. This word, Amen, "those things saith the Amen." The Hebrew word signifies both the true an unchangeable nature of our God. Now, this is the Hebrew word. It means to be true, and not only true today, but unchanging, so it's true tomorrow. And also, that is our Lord and Savior, and also the unchanging message of the Word of God. Why do we continue to see changes in God's Word? They try to change it. They search the Word of God, study the Word of God, and it just, man wants to dilute and pollute and destroy the Word of God. That's their goal. And so as believers, we need to stand upon the truth. Now, that's the Hebrew word for amen, and literally means truth or belief. Truth or belief. Now, the Greek, which is where we're at here in the New Testament, the Greek word for amen is translated verily, which again is a way of saying truth. And so the very first word that our Lord says to this church of Laodicea that loves their money and their things more than they do Him, He said, "I want you to come to the truth." In other words, I want you to come to me. Jesus addresses this Laodicean church with the truth. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." If you folks decide to do the 90-second studies, we close every study with that verse of Scripture. Every study begins with "good morning" and ends with that verse of Scripture. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And so the very definition of the person, the very description of the person that is speaking here, says, "Come to me, listen to me. I am the truth." That's what he wants. I am the truth. The second title joins right in with the first. "The church of Laodicea, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness." The faithful and true witness. There is only one. From the day of Adam, there is only one that has ever can carry the title of a faithful and true witness, and that's our Lord Jesus. We can be a witness, we can be a good witness, we can be a faithful witness, but being born in sin, having the old flesh, we will, from time to time, sometimes more than not, we will be a poor witness and a poor testimony than a good witness. But our Lord is always, He is faithful and true witness, never fails. We look at those words to be a faithful and true witness, and we need to ask ourselves as the church, and when I say the church, it's individuals. Yes, we come together as a group, but are we a faithful and true witness? Where do we stand in that position, in that place? Where can we rate ourselves from 1 to 10 as far as being a faithful and true witness? We have so much to tell. We have so much to testify about. We're born again. We know it. We know it in our hearts. He saved us. He took our sins away. We have so much to tell. Miracle after miracle, the longer you're saved, the more you see the Lord bring His love and His power and His wisdom your direction. Sometimes He'll perform a great miracle in man's eyes. Other times it's a tiny, tiny little miracle. A miracle's a miracle. We need to praise Him for it and honor Him for it. But one way in doing that is not in our closet, on our knees, but sharing it with others. Telling folks what Jesus is doing. You know, we even have trouble, you know, this visible to what do they see, this witness that we're to be. What do they see in us? What do they hear from us as believers? Do our closest friends know we even go to church? Does our family know that we stand for the Lord Jesus? You know, it's hard to imagine sometimes, because all that God has done for us, He has taken our sins away. He has given us life. He has given us His strength and His power and His wisdom. Now, what do we do for Him? What do we do for Him? Is coming to church once or twice a week, is that our service to Him? And most that's what's given. The fields are widened to harvest. There's much work to do. And yet we seem that we get other work done. But when it comes to the service and the work of the Lord, and even something so simple as coming to church, coming to study, is too difficult. You know, does your neighbor even know that you have church on Sunday night or Wednesday night? Do they see you drive out the driveway, given time every time? Well, there they go. They're going to church. Or are we so irregular in that they don't even know where we're going? You see, something so simple as being that witness. People used to always call the house 5 minutes before we'd leave to head out for Bible study. But you know, they quit. You know why? Because when they called, I didn't talk to them. I said, I'm walking out for church. Call me later. They said, fine. We hung up. That was the end of it. They called later. Most people sit there and have the whole long conversation. Sorry I missed church, but I got a phone call right before I left. Or family stops by and they say, I was going to come, but somebody stopped by and, boy, I just couldn't get away. Wait a minute. Say, I'm sorry, but I got to get to church. I want to get church. I'm sorry that, you know, come back another time. I hope, well, we're leaving town tomorrow. Says, sorry, I'm going to church. Who's more important to you, to come and fellowship with believers and see your God? Talk to your God, fellowship with Him amongst believers? Most of the time, the people that stopped by probably weren't saved, so you're talking to lost people. How important are they? How important is our service unto the Lord? You know, Christ says here that I am the faithful and true witness. And He is. He is the perfect witness. But we too, as believers, should have such a love for our God that we are a witness for Him. People can set our schedule because they know. I go visit the nursing home on this day, and I go see the sick. I go to study. I don't miss. But we don't. Have we become a Laodicean church? Are we lukewarm? Do we care so little about our God and more about the things? We didn't even get through the first verse here, verse 14. Because his last title is the beginning of the creation of God. Question comes, is Christ visible in our lives? Do people hear and see Jesus in us? I don't want to be a Laodicean church. I don't want to be that. I want to be part of a fellowship that's the Church of Philadelphia. But you know, sometimes it's kind of like the freedom that we've had in this country so long, that we enjoy the freedom that we don't realize when our freedom has been stolen away from us. And it's the same thing as a believer. We are free. We're not under bondage to serve the Lord. We're not under bondage to be at church. We're not under any bondage to do that. We are free. Do we appreciate that freedom? And that brings a love and a desire to work and to serve and to praise Him more than ever. We can do it freely. Instead of that freedom takes us here and there and someplace else. Because we don't have time to serve our Lord. Oh my, you have forgotten. I forget the purchase price of our soul. He died on the cross and shed His blood for nothing He had done, but it was all because of what we did. He did it out of love. Why are you serving Him? Why are you not serving Him? Where's the love? Where's the joy in your hearts? God loved you and gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believe, please, trust in Jesus today and begin that wonderful walk and service. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank You today that we can come and it appears that the freedom that we have loved and was born into in this country is quickly leaving us. Oh, Father, if we had not left You years and years ago, the freedom of this country wouldn't be leaving us today. Because the church, the people, born-again believers would be heard and seen, and Your witness would go. We have been given the greatest responsibility, the greatest job ever handed out, and that is to give out Your precious word only ones that we take a second to, and that's the nation of Israel. They had the first opportunity, and they failed. We have the second. Now we've failed. We pay the consequences. We pay the price in a sad heart and a sad life and no victory in a country that's collapsing. It's because this country is made up of hundreds upon thousands of Laodicean churches. And Father, I don't think we want to be a church Laodicea. But the only way that could be changed is one person at a time turning their heart and their life to you. Please, dear Lord, touch our hearts today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.